Hi, and welcome to the Writing and Marketing Show, brought to you by author Wendy H. Jones. This show does exactly what it says on the tin. It's jam-packed with interviews, advice, hints, tips, and news to help you with the business of writing. It's all wrapped up in one lively podcast, so it's time to get on with the show. Welcome to episode 4 of the Writing and Marketing Show with author-entrepreneur Wendy H. Jones. Today I'm going to be talking all things flash fiction writer with prolific flash fiction writer Alison Symes. And Alison is my go-to girl when I want to know anything about writing flash fiction, because as you'll find out, she really is prolific and she really is an expert. So what's been happening in my life? Well, not a whole heck of a lot, because I've had the same lurgy that everybody else has had. I've got a cold, I've got a sore throat, and you'll hear it in my voice today and also in my guest's voice. However, we're both professionals and the show must go on. In the meantime, I've been working on my marketing book, which I'm hoping will be out sometime in March. That's a new version of my original marketing book, and it's called Marketing Matters, and I'm very much looking forward to that coming out. I'm also working on book 2 of the Cass Claymore Investigates series, and that is called Blood and Bones, and it's going to be a laugh out loud mystery. So, what of Alison? Alison writes flash fiction and short stories and describes them as fairy tales with bite or quirky fiction. She's been published online and in print by Bridge House Publishing, Cafe Lit, Iron Press and Chapeltown Books. And they published her first flash fiction collection, which is called From Light to Dark and Back Again, in 2017. She's currently working on another flash fiction series and a novel, and the next flash fiction series will be out in late 2020. The most recent story she published was the thousand word The Professional, which has been released in ebook by Bridge House Publishing as one of the 15 winners of the 2019 Waterloo Arts Festival Writing Competition. The theme was Transforming Being. What a cracking title. What a cracking theme, should I say, for a flash fiction. Two of her flash fiction stories, Dignity and Injustice and The Art Critic, appeared in The Best of Cafe Lit, which came out in December 2019. She also blogs for Chandler's for Today, an online community magazine, and that's usually on topics of interest to other writers. So a very talented lady, Alison, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing what she has to say about writing flash fiction. So without further ado, let's speak to Alison. Hi, Alison, and welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you here. Happy evening.
I'm feeling fine, thanks. Wendy, how are you?
Well, I've got these bugs that everybody's got, but apart from that, I'm chirpy.
It's the time of year, and I guess it only proves, getting bugs like that proves we're human and not robots. You don't want robot writers.
Absolutely, but you might feel like you're being interviewed by a robot in a minute when I get going.
We'll see.
I feel like one of those people on a quiz program, you know, are you ready to face Wendy?
Well, I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Well, we'll start at the very beginning then, to choose a phrase from a well-known song. What is flash fiction?
Flash fiction is technically any story which is 1,000 words or under. Now, I personally prefer sub 500 words, because to me, flash fiction is very short fiction. And especially at the 1,000-word end, you are getting so close to a standard-length short story there. My own natural preference is to write in at the 100 to 250-word mark. Flash fiction itself is not particularly new. It's just the name by which we call it. Jesus's parables, Aesop's fables, all sorts of the old legends and stories come in at well under 500 words. So they would count as flash fiction as we know it now. In my time, I've known it called postcard fiction, because you fit a story on the back of a standard size postcard. I've known it as sudden fiction, short fiction. But I think flash is a good name for it, because you are getting literally a flash of illumination into a character's life for the duration of that very short story. And I think it's a really good name for it. And I must admit, I love the fact that it is taking off very, very well for both readers and writers.
Well, I've really been shortchanging myself, because I was under the impression that it was under 300 words, not 1,000. So that's come as a total surprise to me.
Well, writing magazine they have a 750 word short story competition, but technically that's a flash fiction story. I've occasionally had a go at that, no joy so far. But I personally prefer well under 500 words, because to me that's a more natural format for the genre.
Yeah, flash fiction is currently gaining in popularity amongst both writers and readers. Why do you think this is the case?
Well, there are loads of reasons for that. Talking from the reader's point of view firstly, it's instant in impact. Okay, and secondly, it's easy to read whether you're reading it in a paperback book or on a Kindle or on your smartphone. I personally think that technology has helped the form really, really grow, because you can read it on any size screen, iPad, smartphone, Kindle, what have you. And thirdly, a mutual friend of ours, Val Penny, described flash fiction as the perfect bus stop read, and that's a great summary as well.
It is actually, yeah. I love
If
that.
you haven't got a lot of time to read, well, you can read a flash fiction collection. You can dip in and out of it as and when you want to.
Yeah, no, it's a very good idea. And to be honest, I tend to read flash fiction if I'm between stops on a train or something like that. So it is a good way of describing it. The perfect bus stop read.
And I've just come, literally earlier this morning, I came across, because I was looking something up, the Bridport Prize calls flash fiction the art of just enough, and I think that's brilliant too.
After Justin, that's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? And also, the other reason it's become popular, flash fiction has got into schools now. I found this out through a friend of mine who's got school-aged children. Children are encouraged to write up to 500 word short stories, and the reason they're doing it is Radio 2 run the 500 words competition every year with the Oxford University Press, and the competition's open for those aged between 5 and 13, and the theme is open, and I think that's a brilliant way to encourage imagination, and hopefully you're going to encourage a love of reading in young people. But it does mean more people, the children and their parents, are getting to know what flash fiction is. And that's going to help the market too.
Yeah, that is good actually that we're getting children interested in writing and they can see the end product.
Oh,
So
yes.
that probably helps because if they're wanting to write a novel, it's so long.
Well,
Whereas with flash fiction, they can see the end.
exactly. And also, I must admit, my hope is flash fiction might be a way of drawing reluctant readers in, precisely because you're not asking them to commit to too much in one go. If you
Yeah.
can get them to read a flash fiction story, who knows where they'll go from there? A longer short story, a novella, then a novel perhaps. I get them hooked onto reading flash, and who knows where they'll go from there.
Absolutely.
And from a writing point of view, I found flash fiction really has to be character led. Now, I love creating characters. You must too for your work, Wendy. And the challenge and the fun of flash fiction is I have to keep coming up with different people for different stories, and I love that. Absolutely adore it. It teaches you so much about editing too. You learn what your wasted words are and learn to cut them. Whatever form of writing you do, being aware of that is going to help you improve your writing across the board, and that's going to help increase your chances of acceptances and what have you.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. I mean, I was going to ask you why should a writer turn to writing flash fiction, but I think you've covered it very well there.
Well, I found out that I keep putting the words very, actually, and that in stories when I don't really need to. So now
Yeah.
when I'm doing a first edit, those are the first things that come out. I can't stop myself writing them, unfortunately, but I know what the wasted words are, and they're the first things that get the red pen treatment. And I mean, you have to learn to. I also think of flash fiction as precision writing, because you are choosing the impact you want to have on your reader, and you will think about the choice of word very carefully, because you haven't got the space of a novel or a novella. You have got to be very precise about what you're doing. And I noticed a very slipped in there.
Hey,
One of my wasted
we'll let you away
words.
with the odd very. I've got the equivalent of a swear box to put pound in every time you say it.
It's just, well, I don't do that. I'd be broke. But you know, I mean, I I've written flash fiction which is set in historical times. I've written fantasy ones. I've written crime ones. I've even written one where the narrator was a ghost. And that you've actually got more flexibility than the form might at first seem to give you. It's not all about the word count. The most important thing is the impact you want to make on your reader. Then you think about the word count. I've learned over time, much as I love writing the 100 word story, which is also known as the drabble, sometimes a story works better if I leave it 150 or 200. So I simply find a different competition or different market for it. I do not water the story down.
Yeah.
Ever. And nor do you pad. And that's the other thing with flash fiction writing. Oh, boy, if you have a tendency to pad, that will stop you because you simply haven't got the room for it.
So it would seem that trying flash fiction would help any writer in a lot of different ways. So that's always a good thing.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Are there any specific rules that we need to know in order to write flash fiction?
The general one is less is more. You haven't got room for description, so you have to think about conjuring up an image in as few words as possible. One great way of doing that is sometimes everybody knows that you shouldn't use cliches in fiction, but with flash fiction, it's a little bit different. You can subvert them. I did this for the lovely Veronica Bright, ran a flash fiction workshop at Swanwick, the Writers' Summer School, a year or two ago. And for the exercise she set, my story, I had to use the phrase take the biscuit, but I didn't want to use that phrase because it's a cliche, of course. So I got my character to take the Garibaldi, and I read my work out and it got a big laugh, as it was meant to do. But using just that one word, Garibaldi, I was able to give in that one word a sense of the social class of the character in one word. If I had said something like he'd taken the Liddell's rich tea, I could have done it in a couple. And you learn tricks to how to convey an image without going into purple prose and loads of description. The other thing I've found, which I didn't expect, is I've been writing far more in the first person, because it's a great way in to take you into your character's thoughts. And from there, a reader can pick up on their attitudes, what this character is likely to be like, and then they can then use the rest of the story to find out if their assumption about that character was right. That's been good fun to do. Flash fiction is the best tool I know for sharpening up your writing overall. It really is.
Well, it sounds like it is, to be honest, and I love that cliche thing of having it around.
Well, I've done it with titles as well. Titles are phenomenally important in flash fiction. They are for any story, but because of the limited word count, titles sort of carry more weight, and they have to, I like mine to try to convey a sense of the mood of the story wherever possible. One of my stories is called Punish the Innocent. Now, normally you'd punish the guilty, but immediately I've got the hook in the title. I've set the mood. You're likely to guess from that it's a crime story, and yes, it is. And hopefully it'll intrigue the reader to want to find out more. But you can have fun with that. You can subvert cliches. You can use proverbs and phrases, well-known phrases, make very good themes for flash fiction. Sometimes I've used them as titles, like Time Waits for No Man. Makes a great title. You can take that in any direction. It's all about having fun with your characters. It really is. The thing I have found, though, I know it sounds ironic given it's a very short form of writing, is I've still found that outlining is extremely useful. But what I'm outlining mainly is the character. I've got to know their voice and what their major traits are before I start writing anything for them. And that is where I do plan out. And then I'm good to go with the actual story itself, knowing that I know this person inside out and I can then write their tale.
Yeah, that takes me to the next question I was wanting to ask anyway, is that many of us know how to go about planning a novel, but how do you go about planning a piece of flash fiction?
Well, different flash fiction writers will do it differently, but my way, as I mentioned just now, was to plan the character out, because you haven't got room even if you go right up to the 1,000 word limit, you haven't got a lot of room for a lot of characters. I generally would recommend stick to one or two at most, especially if you're writing under 500 words. And I often actually only just have one major character in mind, but they refer to others as part of the story. And again, you're getting a feel for what the main character is like by what they say about the others. So I plan out in detail what this character is going to be like. I don't necessarily need to know what they look like, but I need to know what their major traits are, their attitudes to life, their attitudes to others. Are they greedy? Are they capable of committing a crime? Would I like to meet them on a dark alley? And sometimes the answer to that one is a fervent no. but that's the way it should be. But I plan the character out. And from that, I will get the story. Because if I've got a feisty character who's greedy, there's probably a crime story in that somewhere.
That's a really good point, that starting with characterisation works well in flash fiction. So, good tip.
It's good fun to do. And that's where the challenge is for the writer as well, because you've got to keep coming up with different characters for different stories. Although, ironically, I'm working on a third flash fiction collection at the moment, and I've started to do linked flash fiction, which is new to me, but it's good fun to do, where I've got one character in one story, but they are referred to in another story. And you can do things like that as well. And you can do flash fiction stories. One of my favourite flash fiction books is The Great War by Dawn Knox, which is literally 100 by 100 word stories with characters all set in and around World War One. It's beautifully done. The characterisation is amazing on that. It's very inspirational. But that's the challenge for a flash fiction writer. You've got to keep coming out with different characters who are leading that story. You want to take the reader with you. I use Scrivener as my main sort of processing tool, and they have some excellent fiction templates which I cannibalise for my own use. They do one for characters and one for setting, and I actually use that sometimes for flash fiction as well, because sometimes the setting can act as a character. And basically you need to decide what you want to know about your characters, what you need to know before you write their story. And I plan that out, and then the writing goes relatively smoothly. Whenever I've had a story, it hasn't happened very often, I'm glad to say. I've only abandoned two stories in my time, and I've been writing for goodness knows how many years now. And in both cases, it's because I hadn't planned out properly.
Right. Planning is key, just like it is in novel writing.
Yeah.
Moving on, are there any specific tropes you know with regards to writing flash fiction?
Well, I don't really understand the word tropes because I don't use it a lot myself, but I would say that the sort of, because you can set your character whenever and wherever you like, if you're writing a science fiction flash fiction piece, say, you can use any tropes that, you know, that are associated with science fiction or with fantasy or what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where I do love the flexibility of the form. It's, for me, it's all about the character. I write what I call fairy tales with bite, which are often humorous stories with magical characters in. And I've got a standard fairy godmother with a standard equipped wand, you know. But, you know, I'm using that as a shortcut because everybody knows what a fairy godmother looks like. Everybody knows what a fairy godmother should have in the way of equipment. I don't need to spell that out in the story itself.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I love your title, Stories with Bite.
Fairy tales with bite. I'm a huge fan of fairy tales and allegory and things like that. And it always annoys me when people think these things are twee. They haven't read Hans Christian Andersen because they're anything but twee, especially The Little Mermaid. Disney couldn't have filmed it the way Hans Christian Andersen wrote it. They really could not.
No. Are there any genres that work better for flash fiction, or can you use any genre at all?
I think you can use any genre at all. I think this is down to the individual writer's preferences, I think. The historical flash fiction is a relatively new development for me, but I'm loving it. I will always have a soft spot for fantasy and fairy tale, so that will always be a major part of my work. So I think it's down to the writer. What are your preferences? Where do you want to write?
Yeah, I mean, we've all got preferences for one thing or another, but sometimes it'd be good to try out different things in a shorter form.
Well, it's a good way to experiment, isn't it? To see whether you'd like to take it further. Why not? I mean, there are certain genres that, you know, I've done what I would call a little bit of light horror, but the stories in From Light to Dark and Back Again, the darker end of those are about as dark as I get, and that's it, and that's fine with me. But yeah, yes, flash fiction is a good vehicle for experimenting with form, very much so. I mean, I've even written the odd acrostic flash fiction story, you know, where the first letter of each sentence spells out a word, and it looks really good in a visual format. And I've known others that will write flash fiction in the form of a poem, but it is a flash fiction story. It's just done in a poetic form. Have fun, experiment, play with words. Flash fiction is very open to that.
Have you got any hints and tips for opening flash fiction stories?
You've got to hook your reader. I mean, this is true for a novelist too. Both basically the same rule apply. You've got to intrigue your reader so they will want to read on. Again, this is where a promising title works wonders. I will often take a reader straight into the head of my character so you can see their thoughts and attitudes. Other times I will set up an interesting opening, so hopefully the reader will have to find out what happens. One of my stories, The Circle of Life, I start with, "People throw kittens into the river here. I hate that. It's so cruel. What can I do?" That's the opening paragraph, four very short sentences. And yeah, you will know from that, this person is going to do something. Then they're not going with the crowd. They hate animal cruelty. They're going to do something to stop it. And hopefully you will want to then find out what it is they do and if they're successful in doing it. So it's hook, hook, hook all the way.
Yeah. You haven't got time to waste words, really. Your first sentence must be, you know, must be focused on what you want to convey about the short story. Is that what you're saying?
Very much so. But again, this is why it's a brilliant tool for writers, because this is a great example of sharpening up your writing, getting in there, cutting any waffle out. And we can all be guilty of waffle. I know I can. But you have to cut it. You have to start with the action. Now, sometimes the action's inside the character's head, and you can see it. The reader is being shown a character plotting something, as was the case with that opening of mine. Other times you can just set up a situation where something has got to happen, and you've got to find out what. And sometimes it's just, if you can think about intriguing your reader. I mean, in my story Rewards, which is one of my longer pieces, I start with, "She must go, Becky thought."
Ooh, now that's a good start.
Yeah.
That's a cracking opening.
Yeah, exactly. You know, who is she and who is Becky, and is she going to go, and if so, how?
Why does she need to go?
Exactly. You want your reader to start asking questions. You want them to be curious. They have to find out more moment. Hook them in.
I think you've touched on this already, but is there anything specific that a writer needs to know in order to edit flash fiction?
The first thing is look for wasted words. Look for anything that is not adding to your story in some way and cut it. I mean, when you think about it, what does actually add to a story? Absolutely nothing, so out it comes. You've got to ask yourself, is every line, every word literally moving this story on? Is it something the reader has got to know? If it has, then it stays in. If there's any doubt, out it comes. And the other way I edit my stories is at the end of it, I will look and say, well, if I took this bit out, would the story still work? Would the impact of the story on a reader be stronger or weaker? If it's stronger without it, then it comes out.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, going through everything and Yeah. Does it add to the story? Does it keep your words short? Does it add to the story? Perfect yes. tips for editing.
One lovely thing is you also improve your grammar no end with flash fiction, because for flash fiction, hyphenated words count as one word, which is brilliant. And you learn which words you can hyphenate and which words you can't. But where you can, it's a great shortcut. I mean, if I came up with an image, a sentence, she wore a red coat, now that will conjure up all sorts of images for you. For me, it conjures up Little Red Riding Hood and a favourite red coat that I had as a kid and always wore for Sunday best. I can see it in my mind's eye now. Yeah. If I add in one hyphenated word, she wore a moth-eaten red coat, the images you'll get are very, very different. And the mood of the story changes immediately too. One of my own favourite stories is Calling the Doctor, which is on my book trailer for From Right to Dark and Back Again. And I've got a character who knows they're coming to the end of their life, and they're on their own, they've got no family, and they're worried about what's going to happen to them, but they have found a friend who's going to sort it all out for them. The final word of that story turns the mood of it completely on its head. I can't say anything more than that without giving it all away, but I would say if anybody would like to know more, please go. I've got on Facebook, I've got two pages. I've got my Alison Symes author one, and I've got one for From Light to Dark and Back Again. The book trailer's on there. Go and have a look and you'll see. It's part of the book trailer. And that is another aspect of the fun of flash fiction. Placing your words in such a way you know you can turn the story on its head. That is huge fun to do. And I must admit, I love it when I'm reading, particularly crime fiction. It's great fun reading a crime novel or a short story, thinking you know where the author's going to take you. And sometimes you're right, and that's fine. The author's delivered on the promise. That's great. But it's even better when they wrong foot you. Even better. Because you think, yeah. Because I then go back to the story, the beginning part of the story, and think, yeah, I should have seen that and I didn't. And I love that. And you can do it with flash fiction a lot. And literally the placing of a word in the right place can completely turn the mood of a story. And that is just fun.
That's really good tips. So how do you go about getting flash fiction published? Are there any specific publishers that my listeners should approach?
Right. Now, I'll start by saying my way in. Because I started by writing short stories, and I was published by Bridge House Publishing, and still am. They are closely aligned with Cafe Lit, which runs a website, and I started having work published on there. And Cafe Lit then issued a 100-word challenge, and I saw that, and I thought, well, I'm sure what most people would have thought. A story in 100 words. What a proper story. You've got to be kidding me, right? How are you going to get a proper beginning, middle and end in such a short time space? But I thought, I've got to give it a go. So I did. They liked what I did. And I soon found I was hooked to the form. Later, they issued invitations for single author collections. And I gathered up all that I had written for them and wrote some more material. And that's what led to the publication of my first flash fiction collection. Now, other ways in, I can't recommend this guide highly enough. Miss Lexia have issued an indie press guide. There are loads and loads of publishers in there that will take short story collections and flash fiction collections. I cannot recommend that guide highly enough. Writers and Artists Yearbook is also useful for tracking down magazines. And things like that. And look out for competitions too. People like the Bridport Prize have actually added flash fiction as a category to their long-running Stanton competitions, which is great. I mean, there's very good prize money on that. The first prize for the flash fiction in the Bridport Prize is £1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Very generous. Be warned, though, naturally, there's a lot of competition for that one. There are flash fiction competitions all over the place. If you put a Google search on, loads and loads and loads will come up. There's one for the Association of Christian Writers that's coming up soon. The prize for that is going to be publication in our magazine and book tokens. The American market for Flash is huge too. And also, any subscribers to Writing Magazine will already know this, but if you've ever wondered about picking up a copy, look out for their magazine, when they bring out the competition guide. They do it twice a year. They cover the UK, and you've got a wealth of competition detail in there, and an awful lot of the short story competitions will also accept Flash. They're doing it as a separate category now. Well worth looking through. My way in was online, and then into anthologies, and then single author collection with a traditional indie publisher. But you can, I mean, other ways in would be submitting to the American market. And trying to get yourself shortlisted in competitions is always a good idea too. It looks good, builds up material, builds up a catalogue for you.
Well, that's lots of places. I'm surprised, but it's good that there are all those places that you can approach with your Flash fiction. Is it worth bringing out a book just with your own Flash fiction?
It can be. I mean, it's not the way I've gone, but I see absolutely no reason why you couldn't do it, because it would be great advertising for your other forms of work, wouldn't it? There's absolutely no reason why you couldn't self-publish your own collection of short fiction. It's not a route I've gone, but I see no reason why not. I mean, to be honest, The big five publishing houses aren't interested in Flash fiction collections by unknown authors. They're not interested in standard length short story collections by standard authors. But the indie press are more open, which is why I recommend the Mislexia Press Indie Press Guide, because there's a wealth in there. There's loads and loads of them. Well worth getting a copy.
You've got one coming out soon. Can you tell us what the title of that one is?
Yeah, it's going to be Tripping the Flash Fantastic, and that's going to be coming out. I haven't got an exact date yet. I know it's going to be by November. I'm hoping it'll be the summer. And that's a follow-up collection to From Light to Dark and Back Again. Very much looking forward to working with Chapeltown Books, who are my publishers, for that. And they're connected to Bridge House and Cafe Lit as well, but they focus on Flash fiction collections. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So I will be shouting the word about that more when I've got a definite date.
I love that title though.
Yeah, Tripping the Flash Fantastic. I do love titles which set the mood. In that case, it's set in the genre as well, which is great. People will know what they're getting. And it will be coming out in Kindle and paperback, because Chapeltown do both. And as I say, Flash fiction is brilliant for both traditional book printing, and it's even better on a screen.
Excellent. So I'm interested, if writers get their Flash fiction published, is it, or accepted for publication, is it something where they get paid for it?
It depends what route you go. I mean, I earn royalties on my book, and hopefully will on the second one. You can, obviously, competitions, if you're lucky enough to win, there's usually often a cash prize. Some of the American journals, I believe, do pay if they accept your work. But again, get a copy of the Writers and Artists Yearbook, and I think there's an American equivalent of that. I can't think what the title is off the top of my head, but there is one I know. Check what the listings say, because there will be people out there who will take your work and who will pay you for it. But it's a question of finding them. And there are so many journals now online and in print that some of them will pay, some of them won't. Some of them will give you a free copy of the magazine your story appears in and that sort of thing. And the other thing is, I mean, when I was starting out, I didn't know how I was going to do. I wanted to go to online publication to begin with, because I was just trying to raise my profile, get a few writing credits under my belt. So that's a legitimate way forward as well. But yes, there are some people that pay. But look up the writing guides, Google, and you will get a load come up.
Yeah. Well, are there any other pearls of wisdom you would like to give my listeners?
The main thing I would say is, especially on competitions, which is a great way of getting in, just check everything out. You can't be too careful. There are charlatans in every industry, and sadly, publishing is not exempt, as you know. Just check the terms and conditions of any competition. Never sign away all your rights. I'm sure you'll echo me on that one, Wendy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Check that the prize and the fee that they're offering, you have to pay to enter a competition, is reasonable. For example, a low level competition charging a couple £2-3, say something like that, per entry, is not going to offer you a mega £10 million first prize or anything like that. If somebody's asking you to send in £10 for one flash fiction story and the main prize is about £20, somebody's raking it in and it won't be you. So just be careful. Never be afraid to ask questions on the writing forums and the Society of Authors, and I'm sure the Alliance of Independent Authors would also give helpful tips there as well. Ask. See, this is the great thing about networking with other writers, whether you do it at conferences, day events, you find out so much. And ask. Don't be afraid to ask.
Well, it's been absolutely fabulous talking to you, Alison. We've had
so much help
and advice.
Well, I hope people find it useful.
Oh, I'm sure my listeners will find it very useful. I found it very useful. I'm itching to write short stories now.
Oh, good.
Should I say?
Let's see some crime flash fiction from you then, Wendy.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your advice.
You're welcome.
And all the very best for your own writing.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
That brings us to the end of another show. Thanks, Alison, for sharing your wisdom with us today. It's been a pleasure having you with us. I'm Wendy H. Jones, and you can find me on wendyhjones.com, and I'm Wendy H. Jones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and any other social media you would like to try and find me on. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you found it both useful and interesting. Join me next week when my guest is award-winning crime writer Alex Gray, who is going to talk to us about writing crime books. See you next week. Have a great writing week.